Hello and welcome to the Comedian's Paradise. This is where we speak to the sexiest comedians in the entire world. And today's guest is the brilliant Javier Rose. He runs the comedy club in Brussels. He is a man who has the voice that could seduce an owl. Please welcome Javier Rossi.
Nice to meet you, and thank you for having me on the show. So first of all, I'm not a comedian, man, just a promoter. Originally, I'm a musician and also a writer, but in investigation stuff, but not in comedy. So, but yeah, comedy came by accident in my life, like 2011 or so. I was organizing events for the expats crowd in Brussels, and once someone said, "What? Well, why don't you book some stand-up comedy? There is a show in Antwerp." So then I got in touch with the guy. Say, "Okay, do you want to come to Brussels?" And we did a small show in an Irish bar and passing the hats, and that's how it started. This guy, I have never seen a comedy show in my life before I started organizing comedy, actually. So just was totally new to me. And I started working with a guy named Joe Egan. He promotes shows in Scandinavia. So he's Canadian and based in Sweden. And so he told me, "Look, you have a network in Brussels, and I know some comedians, so maybe we can try to do this once a month." And this is how we started. And then I started knowing the audience here, because we used to do lineup shows first, like having like one headliner, one guy doing 12 minutes, one guy doing 8 minutes, and one guy who could drive them back to Amsterdam, and he would dress as a kangaroo on stage and play the piano. I hate this once. And I told Joe, "I don't want this ever anymore." So now I focus on bringing, like, usually it's double headline bill in Brussels. So two comedians doing 40 or 45 minutes each. Or one comedian doing his hour, and then I bring an opener either from the UK or from Amsterdam or from Brussels. There are quite a few nice comedians now that the scene is developing, you know. So there are some quite interesting comedians now that are not known in the UK, of course, at the moment. But I think that some of them have potential, you know. Like, yeah, there is this Rick Diaz, guy who did super well at the Kiltony show. He won the golden tickets, and then he did the New Year show in Texas, and he's going back in May, I think, to perform in a 17 seat arena. He's going viral now on YouTube and Instagram. And this guy, I mean, he's half Spanish, half Belgian. I mean, actually, he's Spanish. And but lives in Brussels, has been living in Brussels for a couple of years now, and yeah, we became friends. I was the first person to give him gig time in English in Brussels, and now boom, and he's a great guy, great one line stuff, and he has a nice character and persona on stage. Now he's doing really well, and I think he should do the UK. I'm trying to put him in touch with some agents in the UK as well. So I hope, I mean, he's going to be in the UK actually, at Top Secret Club, I think, in
Oh.
22nd or 23rd of March, I think.
Oh.
He's going to do a couple of gigs.
But yeah. It's amazing. God, that's brilliant. Yeah, that's it's one thing. I had a chat with a comedian from Stockholm, and he's from America, from Miami, and he's gigging for a while. He's like owns his own comedy club, big podcast, and he's doing quite well in the stand-up scene over there. But one thing he said he noticed is because the English of a lot of people in Sweden isn't that, it is good, but it's very limited and they have a very acquired taste. They always want new. It's made a lot of comedians in Sweden really up their game. Does it help with, because you, with in Brussels, the English speaking scene, it's obviously a bit more limited than the UK and American scene. Does
Of
it
course,
force comedians over here, over there, to be more creative and to be, in some ways, does it help them? Because I've seen it in a lot of scenes across the globe. Like I've gigged in America, I've gigged in the UK, and I've noticed that, There's comedians that have maybe been gigging for in a small scene and they gig a little bit, but maybe only 100 gigs, but they're better than some of the comics that I've seen doing loads and loads of gigs, even in a big city. Now, this isn't for the majority of times, you do need that, but how much of comedy is working smarter and how much of it is actually putting tons and tons of work in?
Well, actually, there is already a challenge for non-English or non-American comedians because they are performing in another language than their mother tongue, you know. And but also, what I really enjoy is that they are bringing some of their national identity into comedy, and it's really fresh. Like there is this Italian guy, Luca Cupani. And he
Oh,
lives in
amazing.
London. He performs in London. Yeah, he's incredible. He's really incredible. There is Andre de Freitas from Portugal, and he opened for Russell Peters recently. A great comedian. There is this German guy, Christian Schulte-Lohr. You know, this 2 meter tall German. He's one of the best. Yeah, I've been working with him since the beginning, so more than 10 years now. There is a Dagson from Iceland. This guy is, I mean, incredible, really incredible. And he lives in Berlin at the moment. So all these are really bringing something, a new angle, you know, with their own identity. I mean, in the UK, you have guys like Emmanuel Sonubi, you know, because he's originally from Nigeria, I think. Or you have Daliso, you know. Chaponda. So yeah, I think that when you bring this identity, well, you're already bringing something different, and then you have to adapt to the crowds, and the crowd in Brussels may be quite different than in some cities in the UK, and the comedians see that as well. At least the ones who come to the shows that I put on, most work at European institutions or big international companies. It's people who have university degrees and stuff. So you won't get the kind of heckling crowds or difficult crowd that a comedian would get in some pub where everybody is drunk, you know. So the style and the approach would be already different because you have a crowd who might not react that fast, and sometimes j they just look at you and listen, but they really have a sense of humor as well. Even some alternative comedians like Alfie Brown or Alou Bell been to Brussels and did really, really fantastic, you know. Although in some other places Alou Bell would totally bomb because no one would understand his style, his persona, you know. I mean, he's really a character, you
Yeah,
know.
he is definitely.
So for example, Glenn Wool, he loves to come to Brussels. He always tells me, you know, it's one of his favorite crowds. He loves coming to Brussels. And many have this, and Christian Schulte-Lohr as well. He loves coming to Brussels because of this international crowd, so many nationalities. And people who do a lot of crowd work, like Russell Hicks in Brussels, he kills it, you know, because he can pick on different nationalities and build something, you know. I mean, Russell is a genius, you know. I mean,
Oh,
he's really a
yes.
genius. Like all this improv stuff he does so easily. Yeah, so yeah, I've met lots and lots of great comedians over the years, you know. Yeah. So.
It's a real gift he has. I mean, he said that he started doing yes and to get the improv. But yeah, it's just incredible. I've not seen him for a while, but I mean, I think he does a lot more jokes now than he used to, and he's always got that in his locker. But his mainstay is just he improvises and does crowd work, and it's incredible like how he's able to do it. It's only him and Pat Monahan who I've known who consistently can do very well with just crowd work without any set.
Yeah, he was here last year, and in May last year, for my birthday gig, actually. And it was just amazing. Just amazing. I think it was one of the best shows I've had in many years. Yeah. No, this guy is really good. But I mean, you were asking me who are the best comedians I've seen and why they are so good. Well, I mean, I love Stephen Carlin from Scotland, Glenn Wool, of course, Phil Nicol, Damien Clarke, you know Damien? Then Bobby Mayer, Daxon, Alexis, Marcel Lucon. What else? Guy Pratt. I've had Guy Pratt twice. You know, the bass player with Pink Floyd's. He's an amazing comedian.
Oh.
He's with the bass on stage, and telling stories about touring with Pink Floyd. Or he recorded with Michael Jackson, with Madonna, with everybody. And you have this guy on stage. He's just so funny to listen to. And then, fuck, it's the guy from Pink Floyd, you know? Who would have told me this 10 years ago, you know, that I would meet that kind of, artist? You know, it was great. Really nice to have him in Brussels, you know. I have to pull his arm a little bit to get him back on stage, because he was busy with recording and stuff and didn't do much comedy, But yeah, it was a great show, and trying to have him back, but he needs to. He told me that he wants first to create some new material before coming back, you know. So, but that was an incredible show. Yeah, he's a really lovely guy as well. So yeah, who else? Yeah, John Colleary from Ireland, you know, excellent comedian. Usually the Irish, the Scots, and Canadians do really well in Brussels, and sometimes Americans have a little more of a, more difficult time with, at least with my crowd, only Russell Hicks, yeah, really good, or Alou Bell, but Alou Bell is not of this world, you know. It's just a UFO, you know, in comedy, but so clever, you know, so clever, and yeah. Comedy, like really, you see the people, you watch the crowd, and everybody is like, "What the fuck?" You know, and this is really, I love this. I love this. When you're like, "What's happening here?" You know, but it's just Alou Bell, you know, and yeah, really good. But then all the stories with Alou Bell, you know,
He's a character.
yeah. Sorry.
He's a character, yeah.
Yeah. And also recently, I mean, that was 2 weeks ago. I had Jack Leto. And this guy
Oh,
is really, really good. He did really well. Yeah, I'm bringing him back in July, I think. I didn't know him at all. You know, it was his agent, and actually, I needed a replacement act, just like that, with just a few days to before the show, and he was available, and he did great. Really, really nice comedian as well. Yeah. So yeah, I think that. Quite many comedians who, I mean, once they done Brussels, if they do good, I put them in contact with other promoters in Europe as well, and so they can start, getting more gigs outside of the UK, with a different crowd, and I think that can also build their act also when they go back to the UK. You know, they become more. I would not say mainstream. It's not the proper word. It's more, they can adapt to different crowds, because I think a comedian has to be able to do that, and sometimes it can be very difficult, because you have your own act, your own persona on stage, but if the crowd doesn't get it, you're dead, and you can be dead for 10 minutes, for 15, for 20, and this can be the very, very long minutes, you know. Yeah.
There's a lot. Do you get any comics from America, or is it mostly from UK and the rest of Europe?
I will have John Hastings in October. I think he's from Canada, I think, right? From America, I didn't get many. Because usually it would be like these really well-known comedians that come over, and then they do bigger venues with bigger promoters, and actually, I don't know why, but the Americans sometimes, I for me, or for my crowd, I think that they would not do as well as European or UK comedians. I don't want to generalize, but sometimes I think that American comedians, just by talking loud or saying curse words, would think that shocking is funny, and with an educated audience, it's not. So, with the audience I have, sometimes it just doesn't work. But I've had a few Americans who are really nice, but yeah, but sometimes I've been offered some like really big names. I said, yeah, no. But if I tell you the names, you would be like, what? You said no to this guy. But it just would not work for here, you know. On the contrary, Australians or New Zealand, like Damien Clark, but I mean, he lives in Dublin, but Australian comedian, excellent. There is a guy in Amsterdam. His name is Bob McLaren, and he's a Kiwi. He doesn't perform m much anymore, but he's brilliant. And I will have Luke Kigel. He's coming in August, and I was totally amazed because I don't know him. So his agent, who is the brother, got in touch with me saying, "Hey, we're doing a European tour in August," and I'm like, "Wow, August, summer, everyone's gone in Brussels." So they wanted to be in a big venue, and I said, "No, I can't. I just tried to do the usual, you know, the comedy club, Irish bar where I have the show, which is capacity for approximately 90." Yeah, and I didn't do any promo. I didn't put it online. I mean, I had not put it online on the Facebook and social media yet. And but they put the show, the tour, online on their websites on Monday last, past Monday, and it sold out in 2 hours. So I was like, this guy has a following, actually. So I added a second, a late show, also sold out. So now I'm putting him also in another venue a few days later in a 200 seat venue. We might also need to do two shows on the same day. So it was totally unexpected because it's a bad moment of the year. A comedian I don't know, and boom. So yeah, you never know what can happen. You know, I didn't expect that he would say that much and so fast. So sometimes you have, and sometimes you have like a really, really a famous comedian, and it doesn't sell as you would expect. And you do a lot of work for promotion, you know. I had this a couple of times. And so what I realized, and what many comedians or promoters realize here, is that sometimes it's not the name of the comedian that will bring the crowd, because most they come to a comedy show to enjoy comedy. They don't specifically know the comedian. I mean, sometimes they do, and they would come for that person, but that would be like maybe 10% or 20% of the audience. But most of them, they know there is a comedy show, and they would come anyway because they know that usually they have good time. So sometimes I get agents saying, "Oh, get this one for that fee," and I'm like, "I can't offer that fee." "Yeah, but he's really well known," and I'm like, "Yeah, but that doesn't change anything. I can sell out with someone else, for you know, and make I mean, for better numbers for me, you know." And also, like I told you about these European comedians, some of them are doing really well, and the people love them because they have all these, not cliches, but these insights from a comedian outside of Belgium coming to perform in Belgium for a crowd that is not Belgian, live in Belgium, are facing all the absurdities of this country. So they have fun with this, you know, because a comedian would put them back facing their everyday life. And because some of the comedians who know Belgium or live in Belgium, they know how it works, or better say, how it doesn't work in Belgium. And then you can have fun with this, yeah.
It's what is it the fact that these big name comedians aren't known in Belgium? That's the main reason. And like there's certain like we have a big social media following
Yeah,
it.
yes. Some of them, like there is one super big in the UK, like one of the most viewed on TikTok. And I've put him in 200 and so seats. I mean, it's all okay. It was 160, but the attendance, but or 170. But I was expecting to really sell out completely. And because previous time I've seen him in Brussels, he was performing in a bigger venue, didn't sell out. But the guy in the UK, he's really big. So you don't know. Well, but on the other end, Michael McIntyre did two shows in Antwerp. In a the arena was like, I don't know, 20,000 people or so or more.
Whoa.
So you never know. You never know.
Michael McIntyre is Michael McIntyre. He's the biggest
Exactly.
special beast. But what's your process for like getting audiences and then keeping them? Because like I mean it's so easy to lose an audience member, but it's much
Yeah,
harder
one
to
bad show. Yeah. Well, I think it can depend on the venue as well. I use a venue where, it's a really nice Irish bar. It's called the Black Sheep in Brussels. They have great burgers, great service, great gin and tonic. So you already, you're in a nice atmosphere. And the crowd, they like the venue. They also like the shows, and you have to be consistent and offer the same quality with the comedy you offer. And I think that this is something you learn by doing shows and getting to know your audience, you know. I always, many have become regulars and they come to almost every show when they can. And sorry, when they don't like it, they will say, oh, I didn't like this one and I didn't like this and that. So then I can, fine tune my screening. For me, a comedian to perform here, we need to be familiar with an expat audience and familiar with the other references. And I think that's quite important. And also, I mean, once, but that was years and years ago, I had a comedian, a very famous one, I won't name him, but he was completely drunk even before starting the show.
Whoa.
And he arrived in Brussels, he was completely drunk already. Actually, he arrived so late. He missed the train. No, he didn't miss the train. He met some people in the train from London to Brussels and said, yeah, they were switching trains to go to France. So I helped them with the suitcases. So I got in the train with their suitcases and the doors closed. So I found myself in Lille instead of Brussels. So he arrived in Brussels and ended up in Lille in another train. So he had to come back. And he was already drunk when he arrived. So he went on stage. A couple of people started to leave, and luckily I had the MC and opener was Paddy Lennox, who's excellent, excellent comedian. And I told Paddy, look, please just get him off stage and finish the show. And he saved the evening. Paddy saved it. It was really, really great. But I mean, that was, I think, maybe 2014, 2015. That's the only bad experience I've had. I mean, sometimes one comedian would not go as well as you would expect. But I think I never had like really bad a bad show. You know, well, once a funny thing, I put on a German show. You know, with Christian and with another guy called Otto Kühnel. So they did a show in English, and the day before they did a show in German. And only, I think, six people showed up for a show in German. Then we'll say about German sense of humor, but yeah, apparently maybe there's an issue. But I've organized shows in Spanish, in Slovak. I had two shows in Slovak, totally sold out. I had Magnus Bettner doing a show in Swedish. I mean, he's really big in Sweden, really, really big. I had Ismo Lekola. That was 2017, I think. So he did three shows in Brussels, one in Finnish and two in English, and all sold out. So yeah, sometimes I put shows in a native language and it works, yeah. And there are some shows in Spanish going on in Brussels and from time to time in Italian as well.
Yeah, that's true. Did you get my message that I put? Say yes to that.
Sorry?
I put a message. Did you
Let me check.
in the chat? Sorry, no, never mind. I was just
Oh,
asking.
okay, I didn't.
Oh, then I'll ask you later. I'll ask
No, 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 it wasn't.
Okay. I just thought I'd be. Oh, okay. Yes, I'm not surprised. I've heard that before, but I've heard lots of things about him doing that. Yeah, he does that a lot. But I don't know. Some great comics. What makes them so good is they are a bit off kilter. They have a strange way of thinking, a strange way of behaving, and that's what makes them funny.
Well, yeah, but this I don't mind. Yeah, so real life, yeah, okay. This I don't mind, but being drunk when you're going to work, that's a problem, you know. So, and like.
There are a few comics that I know of, I won't say, but do take substances before they go on stage to
Oh
produce.
yeah, I know. I know that. Oh yeah. I know that, and I know some as well, and they do really well, and I book them, but they perform. They perform. They're not gonna, boom, you know. No, they do perform. Yeah, and there is another one. I mean, he used to drink, and then I wanted to book him back in Brussels, and he said, "Look, I'm not sure." Because I quit drinking and it kind of, you know, I don't know, my self-confidence on stage. Then I told him, look, just take a couple of weeks and get back to me, but I want to book you again. And then he sent me a message, said, okay, let's do it. And he did fantastic, you know, he really did fantastic. And he's doing well, he's doing well. So yeah, sometimes you have to fight with some inner demons and stuff, but you know, once you overcome this, you become stronger, you know, and a better act, and that will be able to write better material as well, you know.
Have you faced any demons that you've conquered, or is that too personal?
Not related to drugs or alcohol, no. I've never took any drugs, no. No, but yeah, I mean, hard times in life, yeah, like anyone, you know. What's the meaning of it all, you know, the purpose and stuff. Yeah, trying to find purpose. I think it's important. I remember when yeah, you asked this question once, maybe 6 7 years ago, I don't remember now. I was feeling like really, really bad, really depressed, and I had to put on these comedy shows. And but I really felt bad, like almost felt like crying, and I went to sit back in the back of the room, and really didn't feel right. And at the end of the show, someone came to me and said, "Look, thank you for organizing these kind of events in Brussels because we really need it." And I was like, "Ooh." Okay. So that was some sort of a, you know, encouragement or relief that what I was doing there, even if I was feeling like shit, was good for other people. So then, yeah, makes sense, and that's something that gives motivation to continue, you know. And I think, I mean, any artist, any musician, any comedian, you have someone that's coming to you. Well, thank you for, you know, giving us a great time. I mean, it's always something that's encouraging and that will help you to work harder and write better, you know. Yeah, it's important. Yeah. And also, yeah, there's another. Yeah.
Sorry.
I was about to
I just want to
say.
apologize. That was a Zoom lag. Carry on. I'm sorry. Okay.
The what? Sorry, I didn't get it.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. It was with Zoom. There
Oh,
was
okay.
a delay, and I thought
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that.
the delay. Yeah. There is another comedian, very well known, and he was in Brussels not long ago, and he's going through separation and divorce, and it's not easy, not an easy time in life. But yeah, he's one of these comedians I became friends with. But still on stage, bam, he delivers. Even though his personal life is going through some, down stuff, it's same thing if you're on tour and someone in your family passes away. That happens sometimes, Like once I had one, excellent comedian, and his best friend had passed away on the day, the same day of the show. And on stage, he was really insane, really excellent. Shit happens,
Now, one of the things they say about running a comedy club or comedy show, the hardest thing is getting an audience in. But you've learned that from working music and comedy. And what have they taught you about advertising events? And what are some myths? Because a lot of people try and use Facebook ads. They say, oh, you've got to spend thousands to get people in. You've got to go to a lot of Facebook groups. What would you say is about event
It's
advertising?
always a difficult thing, Yeah, I don't spend thousands on Facebook. I think that my social media skills could be better because I think I've built a crowd over the years. I have a mailing list of people who came to the shows, and there is a lot of word of mouth as well. And but still, I mean, when I see clubs that have shows every day and they manage to bring an audience, I'm like, I have shows twice a month, and sometimes it's difficult to fill the room, So I don't know if there's, sometimes something as stupid that, okay, there is a Champions League final, or there is this or that, and then you have a less crowd on that night. But I mean, you see this in the UK as well, though. Well, now there is going to be the World Cup in oh no, the Olympic Games in Paris, and yeah, I don't know if this will have an effect. But yeah, sometimes I still struggle a little bit sometimes. I hate Instagram. I'm not good at that. And yeah, I use some advertisements on Facebook or some other social media. I try to be in every agenda, the agenda in Brussels and stuff, and to be visible. Contact some expat groups or meetups, and yeah, it's difficult because I have a show next Tuesday, and so far I sold 8 tickets only. So there's no rule. And sometimes you have like a pre-sale of 8 tickets, and then on Monday and Tuesday, bam, 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 you sell 50 or 60 tickets in a couple of days. There's no rule. Especially, it's not like these big names where you have to book month in advance because it will sell out. No, they're like, okay, we'll see what we do on that day, and maybe we'll go to comedy. So sometimes it's a little more difficult to bring the crowd. Yes, yeah, indeed, yeah. But I tried being consistent in the quality you offer. I think that's the most important thing. So, whatever the comedian, whoever the comedian is, the people know they will have a good time. And I always try to book two comedians that have different style. So maybe one will please more to one part of the audience, and the other one to the other part of the audience. So I think that's also important. And the reason also why I prefer doing these longer beats, like minimum 25 minutes for an opener, or this double bill, 40 or 45, is that in a lineup show, when we had these, you see someone going on stage for 5 minutes, and just the moment you start getting into this comedian and getting into his, world, if you say this, yeah, he's already off and there's someone else. You have to readapt as an audience to someone else. Maybe you were already enjoying this first comedian, say, oh, I would have like a few extra minutes, you know. And so you just get used to one style, one comedy, bam, he's gone, and there is another one. And I prefer, just this personal taste, and maybe my audience as well, to have someone who can start developing a story, who can start developing his character, and he takes you in this journey with him. And you cannot do this in 5 minutes. So yeah, it's a different, yeah, a different style. But I think that for the audience here, it works. But sometimes I do try this, you know, like I will have this Rick Diaz, and he will do an hour, and then he brings like two or three other comedians from the, you know, Brussels scene, but comedians who do perform in English as well. And it will be like Rick Diaz and friends. I went to see him in Rotterdam, and it was just a brilliant show. You know, the openers he picked were really great, even for like 7 minutes or 8 minutes or so, but they did fantastic. So I want to have them as well, you know. I want to give them this opportunity to perform in to have more English speaking show that they can perform in.
And how did your life in music prepare you for a life of being a comedy promoter?
Knock knock. I don't know if it really did prepare me for this. I used to be in the organization of some concerts, you know, like even a big festival where we had the Scorpions headlining. But this is a totally different thing. I was more into heavy metal music, hard rock and heavy metal. So, yeah, organization. I mean, it's, you know, hard to say. Hard to say. Different events, different sizes of rooms, different people. But yeah, trying to be organized and trying to, yeah, to know your crowds, to know your fields, and okay, I'm good at organizing this kind of event. I like to have sometimes also some events that have a different style, a different you know, angle. And sometimes this can be my strength, but some other events, I would think maybe I'm not qualified to organize this because I don't know the crowd, I don't know the city. But usually, yeah, I do well with organizing. I mean, I've organized shows in Bulgaria, in Scandinavia, in South of France. You know, we did the Côte d'Azur, so Monaco, Nice, Cannes, and Antibes. And I took comedians like Bobby Mair over there, like Christian Schultelo, I think Sean McLoughlin as well. And every month we would go for a week in France and do these four cities. Also did Bulgaria with Aloubel, with Aloubel in Bulgaria. That was an adventure. You know, you could film a movie with that or a documentary. It was funny. Yeah, there is no. I don't think there is a set rule. That's my personal feeling. I didn't study to be a promoter. I didn't study to do that. I just studied music, you know. But yeah, always been concerts or shows, or sometimes I used to be an agent for some artists, so preparing the radio interview or TV or some special shows. So I already saw that what's behind the curtain, you know. So maybe that helped me a little bit too. Yeah.
And how do people find out about you? What's the one bit of advice do you have for being a comedy promoter, a music promoter, and how do they find out about you?
Sorry, what was the first part of the question?
What advice do you have for people being a comedy promoter? One piece of advice, and how do people find out about you?
Okay, so piece of advice would be meet the crowd. For me, that's the most important, because I've seen sometimes promoters, they don't go talk to the people, and for me, that's a very important thing. Sometimes I just grab a drink, go sit at the table with people I don't know at the club. Say, okay, did you enjoy the show? How did you find about it? So they would tell me, oh, we saw it on social media. Oh, then I see that this advertisement worked. Or a friend told us. And so you're really trying to get to know the audience and have a chat with them. And what did you like? Where are you from? This can seem quite random, but I think it works because you also establish a connection with the crowd as a promoter, so they know. Sometimes I have people from the audience send me an email say, "Oh, did you see this comedian? I just saw him in this place or that place, and he's great." So, and this is how I got in touch with some of the people I've booked in Brussels. And how people can get in touch with me? On Instagram is at Brussels Comedy or EnglishComedyBrussels.com or Facebook English Comedy Brussels. That's the way to get in touch.
Okay, so you know how to find about Xavi. Shall I call you Xavi or Xavier?
Xavi. In Spain, they call me Xavi, or can be Xavier. I don't mind. I don't mind.
You can get in contact with Xavi the footballer or Xavier.
Yeah.
How do they find out about you?
So EnglishComedyBrussels.com, or Facebook English Comedy Brussels, or Instagram at Brussels Comedy.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you very much.